Welcome to On Deadline, your radio news from Odyssey newsrooms across the country. I'm Christy Strausser, Odyssey's managing editor of news. We're going to talk about things that seem unrelated on the surface until you give it a second thought. Extreme weather is spreading rumors about exploding trees and causing panic across the country. Also, more parents are letting their kids swear. Let's start off with a weather report in South Carolina from Tara Servatius.
Now, here's the problem. We've had former meteorologist Tony Deal, used to be a weather guy in town, on quite a few times to talk about why nobody can get the weather right anymore. I mean, how much worse it is than it used to be. And he's explained it's because there has been a drastic change in solar activity. This is why the winters are colder than they used to be. So it gets warm in the summer, but the winters are colder than they used to be, and spring comes later. Okay, let's go through the weather report. And I subscribe to, special apps because the weather is so bad. When I go hiking with my daughter and I really need to know what it's going to be, I can't rely on these people anymore. It's too dangerous. So here's what's actually going to happen, okay? Minus all the hype. Saturday, they're forecasting 50% chance of rain. When they say 50, that means they don't have a freaking clue. But they want to, if they get it right, they want to look like they had it right. They don't have a clue. High of 37. So whatever happens is not going to freeze. Here's the problem. Saturday night, they have it going down to 23. Okay. And even if they're wrong by 3 to 5 degrees, you're still going to freeze. So that's what that tells me. And I usually add 3 to 5 because they're so wrong so often. Chance of precipitation, 100%. Now, that used to mean chance of precipitation pretty high. We have had many, many instances lately, and you've probably seen this too, where they'll be at 80, 90, 100%. It's a little cloudy, but still sunny outside. And then they just switch it when it gets to the hour, as if they'd always forecasted that. That's one of their new things they do. But they're saying chance of precipitation, 100%. So they're kind of confident it's going to rain. So you put that with the 23% Saturday night, and you're going to start to get a buildup of something. Snow, ice, something. So that's what you're really looking at. They got to hit a lot of things right here. They've blown it lately when they say 90, 100% rain. I can't tell you how many. I've got limits. You know what? I guess if I sound annoyed, I love my daughter dearly. She's going to college next year. So I'm trying to maximize every hiking weekend with her that I have. I live and die by the weather that way. And they have taken so many hiking weekends from me. 100% chance of rain. Dude, it's sunny. And they'll just, have you seen them do this? They'll be like, yeah, 100% chance of rain, 1 o'clock. Well, at 1:06, when it's sunny and I could have been hiking, they'll change the forecast to, 16% chance of rain, like they knew all along. So if I sound a little annoyed, I am. They have cost me so many wonderful weekends with my daughter. If they would just admit that it's solar activity that drives the weather, we could know when to hike and when not to hike, but they won't. So that's where we are. That's your honest weather forecast. No hype, no panic, but it was good to be prepared.
So ice and power outages and slippery roads are what they're worried about in the South. But bad stuff is coming from the skies nationwide. Here's Bob Rose.
The polar vortex is coming.
Stock up! We're going to be snowed in for days!
Yep. Good morning and welcome, my friends. Yep. Several emergency declarations have already been issued as a massive winter storm barrels toward more than 35 states, putting more than 200 million people in its path and threatening considerable disruption to New York with a foot of snow, to Texas even, North Carolina, South Carolina. In fact, it was Texas, North Carolina, South Carolina that were the first to issue preemptive emergency declarations after the National Weather Service warned that nearly everyone east of the Rockies will be affected by snow, ice, or cold. From Friday into early next week. This is a potentially historic winter storm dubbed Winter Storm Fern.
Fern. I didn't realize that. Did you know they had names?
I know that they do that once in a while.
Okay.
And it seems more of a recent thing, like last few years, maybe.
See, I think of somebody as Great Aunt Fern, when you say that. Not even the plant.
It doesn't sound that scary.
No, it doesn't. Oh, she's just a nice old lady who lives in the house down the street,
Warning, here comes Winter Storm Beelzebub.
That would be scary. Yes. See the difference?
Yeah, Fern.
Yeah.
It's like, Aunt Fern's coming down to visit for a couple of days.
See?
Bringing a little snow. It's going to be all right. Yeah. Well, this is... you know, they blow these things up, but you got to heed them because, you know, every once in a while they get it right. And it doesn't happen very often, but every once in a while they don't go far enough. But this thing is calling for a lot of snow. I mean, I see looks like from the Shenandoah Valley north, Virginia into D.C. and even up into, you know, New York, maybe even to Boston. The level that they're putting in is a possibility of 18 to 24 inches of snow.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And areas, I mean, look, there's you're going to get some kind of an icy rain type thing probably. Mm-hmm. Around Atlanta, not much should be happening further south than that. We might get a little bit of rain. The temperatures are going to drop.
Yeah, but the icy,
little bit.
That, you know, you were raised in it. The icy is worse, especially for people
is the worst.
Far enough south who don't know how to drive it. And with ice, there's only so much you can do anyway.
Well, you go to bed and you know it's just wet like it always is.
Yes.
And then you wake up and it looks okay.
Mm-hmm.
But then you've got black ice on the roads, and that is not good.
No, it's not.
So anyway, we're not we're not here to scare you. We're here to prepare you.
Ice, snow, extreme temperatures all weekend and into next week. That's a fact. Exploding trees? That's a myth. Here's more from WCCO.
All over social media yesterday was this question and warning about watching for exploding trees. And there were Minnesota weather experts who were saying, calm down, people. Trees don't actually explode. It's like a little pop of the bark. Tell me a little bit more about that, because I've lived here a long time, had not heard about this phenomenon of exploding trees.
Yeah, it's actually very common. Anybody listening right now that lives, especially in like a wooded area, you hear this all the time. You can hear it with your deck once in a while when it gets, if you have an old wood deck versus the more composite ones now. Essentially what it is, when you take trees, there's sap within them, and oftentimes there's moisture within them. So when these temperatures drop to extreme cold temperatures, like they're about to this weekend, what happens is that sap or moisture freezes. And when a liquid freezes, it expands. So it's pushing outward, and that can make the bark or some of the branches basically pop as it's pushing outward. They don't explode. This isn't a Miami Vice episode or something like that. So the problem with it is it's a dumb name. Whoever called it exploding trees has everybody worried that they're going to blow up, like somebody, like Wile E. Coyote put a stick of dynamite in their tree and it blew up. No, they pop. I like what you said, popping trees. Yes, there will be popping trees this weekend, but that's the science behind what's making that happen, essentially. This is a good time, too, for my listeners who keep their beer in the garage in the winter to keep it cold. Yeah, you might want to pull that inside because the temperatures will get cold enough that you might hear a different popping out there and then see your beer all over the garage floor, which would not be good. So we're kind of on the doorstep right now. This is like, remember when you'd be on the diving board as a kid and you'd have your toes hanging over the edge and you're like, I don't want to jump. Well, we're not jumping into a warm pool. We're jumping into very cold air, essentially, through the weekend. So our temperatures are going to fall throughout the day. The wind is going to pick up from the northwest 10 to 20. That's a bad combination. By the time you're having supper, it's probably feeling like 30 below already. And by the time you get up tomorrow morning, it could feel like 40 below in the Twin Cities. It could feel like 50 below. This is why the National Weather Service has the extreme cold warning, basically a heads up that you could get frostbite in 10 minutes or less if you're out there without gloves or a hat, the extremities, essentially. So if you're spending any time out there, make sure you layer up, but it's just dangerously cold out there. Our warmth tomorrow, our high, 8 below. Yikes. At least we won't have any snow, and the wind is going to die down, so we'll likely be in an extreme cold watch the rest of the weekend. Saturday, I believe we stay below zero all day once again. Sunday, just before noon, we could warm above zero. I expect you to run out into the driveway, do the Mary Tyler Moore spin, throw your hat in the air. It's going to be nice to warm above zero. Remember, the average high is 23. No big snowstorms in the forecast. Steve alluded to the one that's going to pummel the south. It's The snow isn't the concern as much as the ice down there. And this is a multi-state from Texas to Oklahoma to Arkansas to Tennessee, all the way to the coast. They're going to have a nightmare down there this weekend. Not that we're going to have a fantasy dream up here. It's going to be pretty bad, too, with the cold. But prepare for it. Last year, we went through a similar stretch. We spent 66 hours at or below zero on the 19th and 20th. So we can do this. I'm confident we'll get through it.
We got a text here. Hi, V. I was taking a walk yesterday in a far western suburb and heard a tree explode, startled my four-year-old lab, and he started barking at the sound. I wonder if I've heard it and just didn't realize what it was, because I guess
You hear, you know what, what's confusing too is a lot, like you'll hear ice popping a lot if you live near a lake. So, and you'll hear that, and it's sometimes it can sound like a shotgun blast. It can be really loud. But if you hear the popping, especially in the early morning hours when our temperatures are falling to their lowest, that's when I would expect to hear it most.
Okay. Well, the headline exploding trees caught my eye.
I know. You should see every meteorologist in our building. You know, the producers come running up. Hey, Chris, can we do? I'm like, no, not the exploding trees. They don't explode. I bet it was about 10 times yesterday.
Those darn producers, right?
You remember?
Yeah. Well,
they push.
We used to call it producer fantasia is what we called it. I don't know if you guys still call it.
I think I'm going to steal that. Yeah. I'm going to steal that. I like that.
A little producer fantasia there. All right, Chris, thanks so much. Watch for the exploding trees.
Yes, stay warm and wrap those trees so they don't explode.
A thick glaze of ice is expected, with the highest risks in areas from North Texas through the Mid-South and into the Carolinas and down into Shreveport, Louisiana. Here's how Texas is planning to handle it from KRLD.
TxDOT has about 100 trucks that can be used for several things. Now they are equipped with brine spreading equipment. That solution is used to keep ice from sticking to the surface. Kenna Mitchell is with TxDOT.
When you do see our trucks out on the road, you need to give us some space to do our work. Sometimes these are slower moving operations, and we need to give crews the space to maneuver those big trucks and equipment.
Those trucks can then be transitioned into snow plows if the storm turns into more of a sleet and snow event. A mixture of all types of winter weather is expected Friday evening through Sunday morning in North Texas. The Department of Public Safety is recommending anyone who doesn't need to travel during the possible freezing rain, sleet, and snow to simply stay home and stay off the roads. But for those who do need to travel, DPS says to allow extra time, put as much space between your vehicle and others. Drive slowly, don't use cruise control, and watch out for downed trees or power lines. For those who are staying home, remember to keep space heaters at least 3 feet away from walls and combustibles. Don't heat your home with a gas stove or oven, and stock up on supplies.
While ice and power outages are the story in the South, snow and bitter, bitter cold will pummel the Midwest and East Coast. Plus, we're getting reacquainted with two terrible words, polar vortex. Here's what they're expecting in New York and the Midwest from 1010 Winds and WWJ.
Everybody's talking about what lies ahead, and particularly as we get to the weekend with a high on Saturday. It's supposed to be about 19, so you can imagine the real feels. Let's get on down the hall now, get the latest from AccuWeather meteorologist Brian Thompson. Brian, it's about to get real around here, sounds like.
Yeah, Larry, by the weekend, we're going to see kind of a level of cold similar to what we saw yesterday, but it's going to last a lot longer. This time it could last into a good chunk of next week. I think we do get up to near maybe a little above 20 on Sunday, but that's with a storm that's going to be approaching from the south and southwest. That will likely bring some significant snow Sunday into Sunday night. Larry?
Woohoo! A whopping 20 on Sunday. Heat wave here. Meantime, you've heard it a million times during winter storms. That is, make sure to protect your pipes and all your plumbing. But a lot of people still don't know how to do that. I mean, it's plumbing. What do you do? Put a guard dog under the sink to protect it or what? Well, we're not that dense, but still, Glenn Shuck with an expert now to refresh us on exactly how to protect ourselves from what could turn into a major bill if we don't do it right.
So here's the deal. If you have piping with water and exterior walls, critical advice in this brutal cold.
It doesn't matter if you drip the cold water or the hot. Does it matter?
Either one can freeze. Even though hot water can freeze, cold water can freeze. So open up both faucets a tiny bit.
So you can let that go like the entire night. That's okay to do?
Yeah. I mean,
water, it's not a lot of water.
Right. You don't want to waste water. But on the other end, you know, maybe a dollar in water is better than $100,000 repair in your house.
And some more advice from Jerry Pignatelli of Generation 3 Plumbing. Keep the vanity doors open on your kitchen or bathroom sink. Let the heat get in there to the pipes. Glenn Shuck, 1010 Winds, 92.3 FM.
And by the way, Yeah, and that works in New York, too, by the way, not just New Jersey. Speaking of New York, the Parks Department reminding everybody to keep their eyes wide open when it comes to trees, which might become brittle and fall under the weight of the ice, not to mention don't get any wild ideas about venturing onto icy ponds or a lake or whatever.
AccuWeather meteorologist Brian Thompson joins us live. Day and Brian, just how cold is it going to get, and are we running colder on average so far this January?
Yeah, we are running colder so far this January, Tony, and we're just going to probably make that deficit even bigger. It's been a pretty cold start to the year, really, since really the second. It's been largely pretty cold through most of the month. This air that's coming at us early next week will be originating in Siberia, so this is some very cold air. We're looking at high temperatures by Sunday, which will be in the teens, and high temperatures by Monday and Tuesday that'll be struggling to reach 10 degrees. We have a high of 8 right now on Tuesday, and we may have a night or two that's below freezing. There's going to be some wind involved, so real field temperatures will be well below zero. So this is going to be a very cold air mass.
Right, cold air from Siberia. There's a talking point for you. Oh, my goodness.
When you hear things like today's weather in the Midwest is coming from Siberia, it may want to make you say a few choice words. But what if your kids do it too? Here's more on parents who are loosening the rules when it comes to kids and cursing.
Dr. Sarah Clark, the poll co-director for a U of M study from the University of Michigan Health C.S. Mott Children's Hospital, a national poll on children's health. And this is about kids and swearing. And, you know, I didn't swear as a young kid. That came later, more as a young adult, I think. But what are we seeing these days, and how are we handling it?
You know, I think this is a signal that maybe things have changed over the years. In this poll, we heard from parents of kids 6 to 17 years. So about half of parents said it's never okay to swear, and the rest felt like it depended sort of on the situation or even on the particular word. And as you would expect, parents of teens were more likely to kind of understand that situation or context, while parents of the younger kids, 6 to 12, were more likely to say it's never okay.
Where do parents say kids are learning the swear words?
Parents say that kids are picking up swear words at school from their friends, as well as from popular media. You know, there's more swearing in TV shows and movies and music. But almost half of parents acknowledge that kids are learning it from the parents themselves or maybe other family members.
Yeah, but, you know, and I think you've got a good point. Television and movies and social media, you're going to see a lot more of that kind of swearing and suggestive behavior than we did when we were kids.
It's really changed just over the course of 10, 15 years. You should, as a parent, expect that your kids are going to hear language. And I think the parent's job is to put a little thought into it. What are going to be your family rules? And then you're going to have to explain that to your kid.
Are parents saying that, you know, they don't want their kids to ever swear, or they don't tolerate it, or they do tolerate it?
You know, a lot of parents do tolerate swearing, or they say, well, it's okay in some context or some situations. And I think an important role for parents is to make sure their kids understand when it's not okay. So, for example, kids might get in trouble for swearing at school or on their job. So parents need to make sure kids understand the difference between when we're being a little more casual and when you're not. And then if parents have other reasons that they feel strongly about swearing, for some families it might be a faith-related thing. So you want to explain that to your kid. I think we can't assume that kids are going to be able to figure out when this word is okay and that one's not. That's the parent's job, to help them to set that example and to give explanations.
And do kids, you know, do the parents say why the kids say that they swear? Do they get a feel for that?
So parents' guesses at why their kids swear, for the older kids, Sometimes they feel like their kid's trying to fit in because that's kind of the way teenagers talk. For the younger kids, parents realize that the kids are often trying to be funny or trying to get attention. And so a great way in that situation is to just ignore it.
And are they also using it to express, negative emotions?
I think there are some times where parents will recognize that their kids are swearing out of frustration or anger. And in that sense, the parents want to figure out and talk with the kid about what's causing the emotion more than the swear word. What we want to do is help our kids learn to deal with those common emotions of anger and frustrations and make sure that the kid has strategies to deal with that.
Are some parents saying that they're just not going to let their kids hang out with other kids that swear a lot?
You know, parents talked about how do they limit their kids' exposure to swearing if they do. And the biggest one was parents not swearing themselves, as well as kind of watch what media their kid is exposed to. But about 1 in 5 said they discourage their kids from being friends with other kids who swear too much. And hopefully there's more going on, because just hearing another child use a swear word, maybe that's not the greatest basis for judging that child. That kid just may grow up in a family with different rules and expectations. So parents probably want to dig a little deeper than that. You know, at this time of year, a lot of people make resolutions, and not swearing is one of them. I remember a swear jar in our household that we had to put quarters in. So I just encourage people to be thoughtful about what you decide your family rules are going to be, and make sure you help kids with explanations of when this is appropriate and when it's not.
Thank you for listening to On Deadline, your radio news from Odyssey. On Deadline is written and produced by me, Christy Strasser, and by Lauren Barry. Subscribe wherever you get podcasts.